Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Just amazing when you got the key, but it's a sinking feeling when you realize you're locked out. You don't have the key. You've lost the key. You never had the key. Somebody else has got the key. Somebody changed the locks. You can't get in. And there's a lot of people that can't get in because they don't have the keys. And some people used to have the keys, but they've misplaced them. But I want to talk to you about unlocking heaven's blessing. You may be seated. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. It's where Christ begins to talk to Peter. He knows what he's got in mind for Peter. Peter was kind of an up-and-down Christian, hot and cold, in and out, saying the right thing, saying the wrong thing, denying Christ, confessing Christ. That's the way it was. But I find tremendous encouragement and strength in Peter because of the fact that Christ didn't cast him away. Have you ever had moments where you were disappointed in yourself? Well, I can tell you, even though you were disappointed, Christ didn't cast you away. He reclaimed Peter time and again. And he knows the plan that he has for you, and God knew the plan that he had for Peter. And God's got great plans for you. And so he began to quiz Peter on whether Peter knew the essential truths of the gospel. It's important that we know the power of the gospel and the truth of the gospel. I had a man tell me one time he was going to start a church in Kansas City. I said, "You're going to start a brand new?" He was stumped. "You be president of the United States," the answer at that moment. And so I asked this, "What are you going to preach in Kansas City?" And he was stumped. And so I asked this, "What are you going to preach in Kansas City?" And he was stumped. Finally, he stammered around. He said, "The gospel." I said, "What is the gospel?" He couldn't define the gospel. The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus began to query Peter and say, "Who do men say that I am?" And he said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets." And Jesus waited a moment. They said, "But who do you say that I am?" And he said, "I say that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." That was the right answer. That was the saving answer. Of all the things that Peter did wrong, this one answer saved him. And so it was quite an experience that Peter had with Jesus on that day. And so many people say, well, Peter is the rock because Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And Peter say, and people say, well, Peter was the first pope or the first disciple. And so Jesus said, "Upon you, Peter, I'm going to build my church." That's not what he was saying. He didn't build this church on Simon Peter. He built it on the revelation that Peter had, and that is that Christ is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know the Bible teaches that the Father is a spirit, that God is invisible? But the Bible said that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He came not only to save us, but Christ came to reveal God to us so we could know what God was like. And so once it is established that Peter knows who Jesus is, Christ moves on to the next thing, and he renames Simon Peter. He changed his name from the meaning of a reed blown in the wind to a rock. Friend, let me explain to you about the power of the gospel. It doesn't matter what you are, because the gospel can change you to what you need to be. It's not about your past. It's about your present. Are you in Christ? Has Christ changed you? The Apostle Paul would write and say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. There is a change that happened. And so Peter's name was changed. I can promise you that if you truly come to Christ, he will change you. The old man will become dead, and there will be a new man born in his place. It's a terrible thing to be known for your weakness. And many people in the Bible were known for their weakness. And Peter was known for his weakness as a reed blown in the wind. But Christ is about to change that and make him a rock, make him a foundation, make him strong. In the Bible, we are told there's a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. How would you like to be known by your adultery or your divorce or your fornication? I used to know a guy named Pete, and he told so many truths that people called him to his face Lying Pete. That's not a very good name to have, Lying Pete, especially when he was a pastor. He was a pastor, and they called him, not Pastor Pete, they called him Lying Pete. He just couldn't tell the truth. And so Bartimaeus was blind, so they called him Blind Bartimaeus. But Christ changed him. The Bible doesn't say it. I think he was known then after 20/20 Bartimaeus. He had perfect vision after Christ touched him. And so Peter's name was changed. We talk about, we used to have a man, he was such a blessing to this church. His name was Tommy. And when I'd preach on Thomas in the Bible, and I would say Doubting Thomas, sometime during that week, he'd always say, I wish you wouldn't call him Doubting Thomas. It always hurt his feelings. But after Thomas was in the presence of Christ and he saw what Christ had done, he wasn't doubting Thomas anymore. He was believing Thomas. And so Christ will change us. And we should not be hitched to our past. It's all about who we are in Christ. And so whatsoever, Jesus said this, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe them, that you shall receive them and you shall have them. He's talking about the power of prayer. He's talking about the keys to the kingdom of God. That there is a place where you can pray and you have a key and it opens up those things. But this is true only if you have the keys to heaven. Most people's prayers are never answered. It is a unique group of people that can pray and get their prayers answered. Their prayers are answered because they, like Peter, have an experience with Christ. Prayers are answered and miracles obtained based on three things. Remember this. Prayers are answered and miracles obtained based on these three things. And the good news is, it's not your personality. It's not your appearance. It's not your past deeds. It's not your perfection in the flesh. These are the three things that are the keys that determine whether your prayers will be answered and whether you will obtain miracles. Number one is what we believe about who Jesus is. That's vitally important. Who we believe Jesus is the first key. The second key is what we believe about who we are. That becomes vitally important. And the third thing is, the third key is, what we believe about our conversion. You know, Peter walked with Jesus for some time, and then Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted, the conversion hadn't taken place, even though Peter had walked with him a while. He hadn't been filled with the Spirit. And so it's these three things that decide whether your prayers are going to be answered. What do you believe about Jesus, who he is? What do you believe about who you are? And what do we believe about our conversion? We're familiar with the story in the Bible about the Jews that believed that they were as grasshoppers, and so they were not able to conquer the enemy. Friend, as long as you have a bad opinion of yourself, you will never be a person that prays the prayer of faith. You have to be able to equate the fact that I have been changed. It doesn't matter about your family. Doesn't matter about your race. Doesn't matter about your gender. Doesn't matter about your age. Doesn't matter about your talent. Doesn't matter about your education. It matters about your conversion. There's a reason why David talked about it and talked about it incessantly, what he used to be and what he was. I was digged out of the miry clay, but now my feet are on the rock. I used to be slipping, but now I'm standing. The conversion was important. And so Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's forever settled. But the first thing you've got to be sure of and settle is, who is Jesus Christ? He's more than a rabbi. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a religious leader. He's even more than a miracle worker. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the Creator. He is the one and the only. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He's the first. He's the last. He's the judge. He's the altar. He's the sacrifice. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You have to understand who Jesus Christ is. You have to understand that nothing is too difficult for Christ. You have to understand the nature of Christ, that God is love manifest in Christ. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to bail you out. He came to blot out your transgressions. He came to forgive you. He came to cancel your debt. He came to erase your reservations in hell. You were sin and in sin, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, on your way to hell. But Christ came. He is your substitute. He went to the cross for you. Somebody said, life is not fair. And the person answered and said, you're right, life is not fair. If life was fair, we would all be dying on the cross. Life is not fair. Jesus Christ, he changed it to where it favors us. It's now slided in our favor. We are no longer weighed in the balance and found wanting. Christ changed the scale. We've got to know who he is. He's altogether lovely, altogether lovely. He will in no wise cast you out. What a Savior. That's the reason why we ought to be known as fanatics for Christ. Fanatics is just the root word from where the word fan is taken. You know, I'm always amazed at people that are fans of actors, singers, and athletes. Those three people are just fanatics for them. They'll drive hundreds of miles to see them play a game, to hear them sing a song, to see them act on a stage. But when we are fanatic about Jesus, we are fans of Jesus, they think we're crazy. I got news for you. Dak Prescott might be a great, great great football player, but Dak's never done nothing for me. And I got a good idea he wouldn't do anything for me. You know, I don't know whether you remember this, but when I turned, I don't know what age it was, 40 or 50, Brandon called the office of Troy Aikman, and he paid good money for Troy to do a commercial and said, happy birthday, Steve. Well, that was fun, but it's really stupid. Because Troy Aikman don't know who I am. But people would stand in line to meet him and talk to him and shake his hand. Friend, I've never been an autograph seeker because I've got the autograph of all autographs. He wrote his name down on my heart. And so the number one key I have, I know who Jesus is, and I know his temperament, and I know he's a God of love. And I know he's a God of forgiveness. There are so many times he should have given up on me, but he has the tenacity. He never gives up on me. He said, you fall seven times, I'll be there to pick you up. Seven is not the number. He's just saying it's the perfect number. In other words, no matter how many times you fall, I'll pick you up. That's Jesus. That's the Jesus that I serve. He laid down his life for me. When I was a preacher or after I got baptized or after I, no. While I was yet a sinner, he laid his life down for me. That's the number one key. He is worthy of your praise. He's an amazing God. You need to sing his name. You need to praise his name. You need to applaud him. Oh, friend, how many people were fans of Joe Biden? And now Joe can't give you a cup of coffee. He's gone. And some of you are friends of Donald Trump. Donald's fixed to be gone too. They come and they go. But let me tell you about Jesus. He never leaves you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, hallelujah. And that's the number one key to getting your prayers answered. The key to the kingdom of heaven is knowing who Jesus Christ is. And so many people don't know him. I read the other day, somebody said, we're talking about the second coming in the church, and the world don't even know about the first coming. But I'm glad I know him. You know, it's just amazing that me, a nobody, knows what I know about Jesus. I know a lot about Jesus. I know a lot about Jesus. I know he's altogether wonderful. I know he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know he'll be there in the darkest of nights. He'll be there in the greatest of trials. I know he'll be there when everybody else walks away. I tell you, your mama and your daddy and your siblings might be great, but Jesus is greater than your family. He is amazing, and I know him personally. I know him, and Paul said, I am known of God, and I know God personally. I know him by name. I call him by name. He knows my name. We are on a personal basis. That's the key, and that's what Jesus was asking Peter. Do you really know who I am? Jesus said, cast them out because I never knew them. He never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, do you have a relation with Jesus? If you just meet Jesus at Living Way on Sunday, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because I not only see him at church, I see him at home, I see him in my car, I see him when I'm discouraged, I see him when I'm encouraged, I see him when things are going good, I see him when things are going bad. I talk to him all the time. I praise Jesus 100 times a day. I praise him for little things that happen. Becky and I, we talk so much about things that happen in our life. Just no way that ought to happen like it did, but it came to pass, and we know who to praise. His name is Jesus. Jesus not only takes care of the big things, he takes care of the little things. But you know what the other key is? I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Christ. Friend, you've got to have a relationship. You've got to know that you have been changed by the power of God. I am in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. Have you ever had friends that just turned against you, and you never knew why they turned against you? Somebody told them something. Something happened. They just walked away. But let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus came to stay in my life. Good times and bad times. And I might not be perfect, but I know who I am in Christ. In him I live. He's changed me. That's the second key, that I am not what I used to be. I am a new creation in Christ. He has transformed me. I have now got in me the same spirit that was in Christ. It transformed me. It changed me. Somebody asked me, what's the difference in church today and church back when you first started preaching? It's the transformational change. I see so many people that say they accept Christ, but their lives never change. When I first started preaching, when people got saved, there was an immediate 180-degree turnaround. They changed. Friend, if you are not changed from who you used to be, you have not received everything God wants to do in your life, because I promise you it will change you, make you a new person, a better person. And so I no longer doubt. I know that I am in Christ. And if I am in Christ, what? Praise God, everything is at my disposal. because of the power of Christ inside of me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, I am righteous, not self-righteous, but I am righteous in Christ. I understand that He is my substitute. He took my sins, but He assigned me His righteousness. And so the second key is I know who I am in God. I am righteous. That when I pray, demons fear. When I pray, angels stand at attention. When I pray, all of heaven is put on alert. God will do that when you recognize that you are in Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. You're not the person that you were born. You are not the person that your family says you are. You're a brand new person. You've got power that you did not have before. And the third key is your conversion. Can you really talk about the change that happened to you? When I was a 10-year-old boy, well, first, before that, I was riding on my bicycle on a Friday afternoon. I was riding in a little town called Iola, Illinois, and I was riding with a boy. We were kids. I was 10 years old. We were riding our bicycles. His name was Mike Dury. Mike grew up to be the pastor of my home church. He pastored that church for 40-some years. He just retired. But I was riding my bicycle, and I remember these thoughts so clearly. I remember as a kid, I'm just so happy because it was Friday. I didn't have any homework. Life was perfect. And it was the first time I ever heard the voice of God. And God spoke to me and said, "Your life is not perfect because you don't have a relationship with me." I mean, while I was writing, no, there wasn't a preacher. I wasn't in church. It was just the voice of God. He ruined my Friday afternoon. And then I would go to church after that as a boy, 10 years old. And when the preacher would preach and I realized he was getting close to the altar call, I would pretend to be asleep because I was under conviction. And I wouldn't go to the altar to give my life to Jesus. But my parents took me to an old-fashioned camp meeting in Murfreesboro, Illinois. And there was a man named Tom Fred Tenney was preaching. And when he preached, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I started crying. I was standing between my mother and my dad. And I said to my mother, I said, "Mom, I'm going to the altar." And she said, "Ask your dad." I didn't ask dad nothing. I bolted around her, and I ran to that altar. Let me explain to you something. The devil wants to offend you when you come to Christ. And so I went to the altar. There was a large group of people there, probably several hundred people there. And they were at the altar, all across the altar, but there wasn't enough altar space, so they'd set up folding chairs, little metal folding chairs. So I knelt at one of those chairs, and I was praying for the first time in my life. I was praying and asking Jesus to come into my heart. And somebody come and jerked my chair that I was kneeling at. And so I was offended right then. The devil wants to offend you when you start coming to Christ. He just invents something. That messed me up. I got up. I had no place to kneel, no place to pray. And I went back and I just sat back there. The next time I was in church, I went to the altar again. I kept going to the altar. And I got back to my little home church, and they baptized me in water. I'll never forget that. And then we moved to Indiana, and I wanted the Holy Spirit so bad, but somebody messed me up. The devil will really try to mess you up when it comes. Somebody told me, Daniel, that you'll never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until you become perfect. As long as there's any sin in your life, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. So every time I'd go to the altar and I'd say, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit," I'd hear that voice say, "But you're not perfect. You got sin in your life." So I couldn't receive the Holy Spirit. It took me a long time to get that out of my mind. But I remember one night in Mooresville, Indiana, in 1963, on February the 24th, I was at that altar. And I remember God baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. I was the shyest little kid you ever saw. I was 13 by this time. But when the Holy Spirit came on me, it changed me. It transformed me. And the Holy Spirit has never left me since then. I haven't always been perfect. I haven't always been good. I haven't always controlled my temper. I haven't always been kind. I haven't always been obedient. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's never left me. Folks, I want to tell you, the devil's a liar when he tells you that you've lost God's grace and you've lost God's love and you've lost God's Spirit. You've got to stand up and say, wait just a minute. I know Jesus and I know how good he is and I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm covered from the top of my head to the sole of my feet with the blood of Jesus Christ. So it don't matter what the devil says. The Bible said he's an accuser of the brethren 24 hours a day, night and day. He accused. It don't matter what he says. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. I know who I am, but I also know what he has done. He put in me the same spirit that was in Christ. It's quickened my mortal body. I fall, I fail, but that don't make no difference. The Holy Spirit does not leave me, and he does not forsake me. I know that I have been saved gloriously by the power of the living God. And because that, I've got the three keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so the Bible said that you could pray this prayer. When you get the three keys to the kingdom of heaven, you can pray this prayer. Thy will that is done in heaven, let it be done on earth. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I live a blessed life because every day, sometime during that day, I'll go and I say, I know who Jesus is. I know how good he is. I know who I am. I know I'm in the Father's hand, and I know what he's done for me, and I know he'll never leave me. And so I can pray the prayer of faith, and I can say, I want the will of God that's in heaven to be done on earth. It's a key. It unlocks the door. When I go to a mortgage company, it works. When I go to the hospital, it works. When I go to the lawyer, it works. When I go to the doctor, it works. I've got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And because of that, the Bible said, we're made to sit together in heavenly places. This ain't it. But the Bible said that the Holy Spirit in us is the earnest of our inheritance. I'm not living in my mansion yet. I'm not living and walking on the streets of gold. I haven't passed through the pearly gates, but you know what I've got? I've got the earnest of my inheritance. I got a little gold. I got a little pearl. I got a little bit of heaven every day of my life. And every day the devil comes down to trouble me. But you know what? The Bible said what the devil means for evil, the Lord returned to good because I got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You need to get up every day and declare who Jesus is and then declare who you are and then declare what God has done in your life and say, all right, I tell you what, I'm going to go out into this world and I've got the keys of heaven right here in my hand and I'm going to unlock some doors and I'm going to move from victory to victory and blessing to blessing. And I'm not going to listen to the condemnation of the devil. The devil is going to condemn me. Does ever devil ever tell you you're backslid? Let me tell you about the devil. I've got a friend that literally cannot tell the truth. He's the worst I've ever seen. But you love him because he's so complimentary. He introduced me to a bunch of preachers the other day I didn't know. And he said, you know Becky Fenner? They said, yeah. Said, she's the greatest singer you've ever heard. And these guys said, oh, she's awesome. He said, she's nothing compared to his preaching. That guy's a liar. I would have liked to believe him, but I couldn't believe him because I know he has a habit of lying. Well, let me tell you what. When the devil says something about me, I know it's a lie because he is the father of liars. So when he says I'm backslid, I know that exactly opposite is true. When he says I'm backslid, that means I'm in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. That means I'm in the relationship with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm living a blessed life. just every day of my life, the blessings of the Lord come to me. Why? Because I've got the keys to heaven. I know who Jesus is. I know who I am in Jesus. And I know the conversion he's made in my life, that I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but I've been born again, and now I am the Son of God. He said, as many as accepted Jesus, he said, I give you the power to become the sons of God. And as a son of God, I am an heir of all good things. I seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness. I'm righteous, not self-righteous, righteous in Christ. I'm righteous because of his blood. I'm righteous because of his perfection on Calvary. I'm righteous because he said it is finished. So the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. And after that is joy. And after that is peace in the Holy Ghost. I know who I am, and so I get up and say, the devil is going to be defeated in my life today because I am the righteous of God. I've got the joy of the Holy Ghost. I've got the peace of God. I've got the keys to heaven, and I'm going to unlock heaven today. Heaven is going to scroll back, and God is going to pour out his blessings on me. I am going to walk circumspectly. Good things are going to happen to me. The devil is a liar. If you watch the news, it's bad news. But the gospel is good news. Good news. The Bible said, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these. Becky said that Christian television is the worst thing that ever happened to the church, because people just observe instead of participate. And I'll tell you what the worst thing that ever happened to America is 24-hour news. You can turn on your television anytime and get bad news. Anytime you can get bad news. You've got to be able to shut that out and say, I'm going to get good news. What sort of things are lovely? Think on these. Jesus saved me. That's pretty lovely. He picked me up when I was dead in sins and trespasses and made me the right of God. That's pretty lovely. He healed me when I'm sick. He provides me when I have a need. He is my ever constant companion. He's gone to prepare a place for me. I'm going to live an abundant life here, but then I'm going to go and be with him forever. And I'm going to see my family and my friends and the church members from Living Way Church. Think on these things that are lovely and say, devil, look, I got the keys to heaven, and there's not a thing you can do about it. I'm like John on the Isle of Patmos. He was on the Isle of Patmos, which was a place for prisoners, nothing but snakes and scorpions and buzzards. And all of a sudden, he said, it was on the Lord's day, and I got in the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can get in the Spirit anytime you want to. Doesn't matter what's going on. You can just lift your hand and say, I think I'll just praise the Lord right here. I do that. I'm out by myself. I just throw up my hands and begin to praise the Lord. Just a few moments and my entire life changes. My entire perspective changes. My entire attitude changes. Why? Because I've got the keys to heaven. And praise God, I can have some heaven on this earth. I've got the earnest of that inheritance. I'm made to sit together in a heavenly place. Don't let anybody condemn you. Remember, God's house is a house of celebration. We're not here to condemn you because you failed. We're here to celebrate because Christ succeeded. He succeeded in your behalf. You're a winner, not because you've done everything perfect, because he is altogether lovely, because he is the perfect sacrifice, and he has paid the price. And praise God, you are more than an overcomer. You are victorious in Christ. Stand on your feet and lift your hands right now and say, thank you, God, that I've got the keys to heaven and I can live the abundant life in Jesus' name. I'm just appalled when I see so many Christian people that are living defeated lives. They're just despondent. They're suicidal. They're just defeated. That's because they don't know who Christ is and what he's done. They don't know who they are, and they don't recognize what Christ has done in their life. One of the saddest events in my life was, there was a young kid that moved here to San Antonio. He was about 18. I was in my early 20s when he started his church. He was a sweet guy. I mean, just so nice. Single guy, not married. Nice looking guy. He moved here to help me start the church. He stayed with me about a year here. He used to lead our worship for us when it was just Becky at the keyboard and me. There wasn't anybody there, and he'd lead the worship. But he had a problem. He just never could get any self-esteem. Just had to, and a good-looking guy, sharp guy, but he had no confidence. Even though he was saved, he still had no confidence. He moved to Dallas, Texas, and went to a friend of mine in church. He was a smart guy. He had a little carpet store. Sold carpet, a little carpet business, good carpet layer. So my friend, the pastor in Dallas, Texas, called me. And he said, "Steve, the worst thing happened this morning." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Lee went to his little office at his carpet store. And I'd counseled with him earlier in the week, and he just had no confidence." He said he pulled out a gun and shot himself. He was about 19 by that time. I think about that kid, if not every day, close to it. Where did I miss as a pastor and as a friend communicating to him? Man, you got the keys to heaven. You got the keys to heaven. There's no need to be discouraged. The Lord is on your side. The Apostle Paul said this, "Cast not away your confidence." It's either confidence or condemnation. You either listen to the devil and let him condemn you, or you listen to Christ and let him give you confidence. Friend, I want to tell you that the devil is a liar and God is truth, and God is saying you are the apple of my eye, the handiwork of my hands. I created you in my image, and when you were not right, I recreated you. I redeemed you. And I love it when God says about Job, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is perfect in all of his ways." Because that's in the very first part of the book of Job. You can go back through the rest of Job and you can find the imperfections in Job's life. He said, he wasn't perfect. He was to God. And see, you can criticize me and say, "Pastor Steve, you're no Kenneth Copeland." See, but that's your analysis. I got some bad news for you. Your analysis don't matter. What I think about you don't matter. Because God said, "Look what I did. I washed her in my blood. I washed him in my blood." And God's strutting around heaven saying, "Have you considered my servant? She's perfect in all of her ways." God's bragging on you while the devil condemns you. You need to get on God's side and say, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done." If you're in this room today,